Hey guys, this is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. Alright guys, this episode we have a special guest on, one of my dear long, lifelong friends, Dini.
Hello.
Hi Dini. Oh, I guess we call him in the real world, Jason Godwin.
This is cool.
So, I guess the reason why I gave him, I don't know if you know this, Wyatt, but I gave him the nickname Houdini because I've known Dini for about, shit.
It's going on
17 years?
Probably 17 years, yeah.
And wow. we met, you're going to roll your eyes at this one, or laugh at us, but we met at a scout camp.
Jason told me he used to work at a scout camp.
Yeah, so yes. When we were 15 years old, we both were working at said scout camp in Utah. And
it's the one above Payson, right?
Correct, yes. Yeah. It's called Maple Dell.
Maple Dell
so scout camp. This,
yeah, I got kicked out of that scout camp.
This was...
Probably by you guys.
So there was in the group of friends we had, kind of, there was two Jasons, a Josh, and then myself, okay?
Wow.
So one Jason, his last name's Godwin, so they call him Godwin.
True story.
Which is pretty cool. Yep. And the other one was Newsome, so they called him Newsome. Like Jason Newsome, Newsome. And like so it. We got lazy, and they called Jason Newsome Juicem. And so I got lazier, and I call him Juicy. So now he's known as Juicy, right?
Nice.
Even though, anyway. And Dini has nothing to do with Godwin. Okay?
Absolutely not.
So this kid would be running around. We'd be looking at him 1 second, and all of a sudden I'd look over. He's there. I'd turn my head, talk to someone, look over. The fucker's gone. And so he'd hide in trees. He's like he had a ghillie suit all the time. So he just was a magician.
Ghillie suit?
Yeah. I own three.
So I called him a magician because he just kept appearing and disappearing. And I'm like, oh my God, you're like a goddamn Houdini. And it stuck. Mm. And because of that, Houdini stuck. And then I got lazy for my own nickname from him, Houdini. So I called him Dini. So now his name's Dini. So I try not to call him Dini in public because no one knows who the hell I'm talking about.
Right.
But jalapeno and I call him Dini.
Now we know who Dini is.
Now you know the story behind the Dini story. But anyway, so Jason or Dini, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully that was a good introduction.
That was good as a kid. I'm trying to imagine Jason as a 15-year-old and I'm really having trouble. I just picture like a smaller body, like 15-year-old, like scrawny kid, but with Jason's face.
No, I mean, I was a lifeguard when I was 15.
Yeah,
I was
and always had sunglasses on.
It was bright, man. You could look with those sunglasses. You could be like, oh yeah, the kids are drowning, and you don't know I'm looking at you and
right.
Misbehaving. Yeah.
There you go. So that's the story there. But welcome to this one. So I brought you on. Wyatt and I have something special for you because I know you like coffee.
Love coffee.
And Wyatt and I like beer. You like beer.
I do.
This is Wyatt and I like coffee. So we decided to talk about coffee beers.
That's a match made in heaven, man.
There you go. So this episode we're doing the best coffee beers in Utah. We tried to go for the best, but we're just going to get some good, really, really good coffee beers.
Yeah.
I really tried to get a couple I could not find. They were not available at the breweries, unfortunately. But we did stop at one of our favorite places. It's called Keto's.
And
you're familiar with Keto's.
Absolutely.
So Wyatt and I love this one. I know Wyatt loves this one. It's the Coffee Cream Ale by Keto's. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have to do another one of these as more coffee beers become available. Because
yeah.
They're very, like, I don't want to say seasonal, but like some breweries do them at certain times. You know,
that's the really thing I'm annoying about seasonal beers is there's some good seasonal beers out there and you got to stockpile them. And like 3 months after the fact, you're like, this one's getting a little loose change in it.
Yeah.
I like
to make some of them more regular, I think.
But yeah. I like when they're on the market and they come off the market because I think it goes off of what beans are available or what. Because I know some brewers get their beans from a specific grower, right? From a specific farm. And, yeah. And sometimes they're readily available, sometimes they're not. But this coffee cream one, we've had this one on before. Again, out of Salt Lake. The bitterness is 10, color's 3. Very light, like it is hella light. Looks like a cream soda almost.
Yeah.
And 4% by ABV. Beautiful.
Right. Do you know what coffee beans they use in this? Does it say?
They unground Guatemalan coffee beans from our local Salt Lake City roaster. It's on the can it's or on the label it says, we are able to create a rich, dark coffee taste without color change. The Wolverine and Coffee Cream L both prove that you shouldn't underestimate the strength by looks alone.
Is this one of the Wolverine?
I don't know.
That's the fucking Wolverine one.
I love it.
Am I allowed to drink this? Do we need cheers? Do we say something?
Oh, yeah. Let's clink.
Clinky. But, Dini, tell us what you think. Because, I mean, off the nose, you didn't get that coffee, like, right off the bat.
Yeah.
I got the coffee and definitely the cream part of it right off the bat.
Yeah. And the flavor is just like, pow.
Yeah.
Coffee.
It lights your tongue up and then dissipates. Gone.
That's really good.
Not bad, huh?
No, that's really good.
Right.
But I think this is hella crushable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would go as far to say I would drink this on the lake.
I'd drink this by the stein.
I would drink this in general. Yeah.
It's great beer.
But Kitos, I mean, I can't great wait. I want to talk to Clay, the head brewer. That's who I want to talk to. But these guys, Kitos, they're killing it with their beers. I really do enjoy their beers.
Well, very see what light. I was expecting a little coffee beer. I know that was a kind of a cream portion of it, but with how light that is, that's very drinkable.
Yeah.
I would, if you gave me that and said, hey, it's hot outside, it's a nice day, do you want to go out and have some beer? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And you hand me one of these, I'd probably just be smiling all morning.
Nice. Yeah, it's really good. It's known as an American cream ale.
Yeah. 1 to 10. How crushable?
With the coffee added to it, probably a 9.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's where I'm at. I think at least that's a 9 good. With this.
Oh, crushability.
Yeah.
Not bad. So if you guys are in the area, Kitos in Salt Lake, they're killing it. But so that one's kind of – this is the cream, coffee cream ale. Mm. Everyone loves coffee creams, I think. And this – so after this beer, we're going to dive into the darker coffee beers. We're talking like the darker stouts, the Imperials. And that's what Wyatt and I call palate wreckers. Because once you have a dark stout, it's kind of hard to go back from that.
No. You have a stout. You should end with a stout and just run with that stout. Mm-hmm.
And that's like – they're usually like nightcaps for me or desserts, right? Yeah. But, Dini, I want to talk about your coffee drinking, okay? Are you someone – and Wyatt, I want to know this too. Are you gentlemen black coffee drinkers? Are we a splash of cream, a lot of cream? Because I know Wyatt likes cappuccinos.
I do.
Cappuccinos.
I've got to be in the mood, but, you know, if I find a place that has a good cappuccino, it's hard not to get a cappuccino.
You know, that's actually very fair. My coffee drinking has been, kind of evolved through the ages. I started drinking coffee when I actually worked up at Sundance, and it kind of was just, oh, coffee here, coffee there. And then my buddy I worked with, he was like, hey, do you want to do espresso? I'm like, sure, let's do espresso. And you know, we're still kind of new to the idea of espresso. We knew it was stronger coffee. So what we did was we got 3 shots of espresso, and we just put it into a little coffee cup, and we just shot it. That was a rough day.
Wow.
Yeah.
3 shots of
espresso.
3
shots of espresso, my first introduction.
Just did. Wow.
No, he had to sit down because he was like.
Had you burn your face off?
You still have taste buds? They've grown back since. It was a few years ago. But I had to calm down a little bit of my coffee intake, so I added some cream to it for a while. I kind of stopped drinking espresso. I actually do like a nice cappuccino. The froth kind of makes it a little nice and bubbly.
It's just like it's really light, and you get that foam and like the steamed milk, but there's still that strong espresso flavor. I think it's good.
Well, the darker flavors is something that I've always been attracted to, especially with beer. I mean, one of the first ever beers that I tried was Shock Top, weirdly enough. That was one of my first beers. But after that, I got introduced to like Polygamy Porter and some other darker ones. And I went, wow, this is like really smooth. This drinks a lot like coffee. And at the time, I was drinking a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
And it was a really smooth transition from drinking those kind of darker roasts of coffee to these darker beers now. And that was just night and day for me. I was like, sweet, you know?
I think that was what got me into stouts as well, is like that strong coffee flavor, that roasty flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been, not always, but like since high school, you know, I've just really been a big fan of coffee. And I usually drink coffee black.
That's typically how I drink it, unless it was really bold and I'm just, because I like the medium roast. You know, I don't like, if I have a blonde, it's if I'm somewhere hot, like Mexico or Texas, you know, like somewhere I'll take a blonde roast. Blonde roasts aren't really my jam, but medium roast is great. I'll do that block all day, every day. But dark roast, sometimes I'll just have to do a splash of cream if it's just too bitter.
Yeah.
Just too bitter.
I think the acidity of coffee is one of the things that I try and stay away from. And that's why those kind of a little bit more dark roasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And
agreed. I don't like the acidity in coffee, so I stay away from the lighter roast. But, oh, man, a good dark roast.
Ooh.
Yeah. And but the thing about it is I also like – because I love – my routine right now is I've been doing – I wake up, grab my book, and I'll go out and read on the porch with the dogs in the backyard and have a cup of coffee. Nice. And that for me is like when I'm sipping on coffee and reading a book, to me that is, and it's sunny outside because right now it's 90s in Utah and beautiful sunny and it's been great. So that to me, even though the coffee's hot and it's hot outside, to me it's the perfect pairing because with reading a book. You know what I mean?
It's picturesque. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like you're having that moment and you go out and you need to find those moments in life where you're like, oh, you know, this is picturesque. This is something that's relaxing and I can just grab a moment to myself.
Yeah,
I like that. But like what we were saying earlier, a couple podcasts ago, and we like to say this a lot, beverages, like especially beer, they create memories.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And I think, you know, smells do, tastes do, everything. You know, when Wyatt says when you bring in all the senses, and that can create more of a memory, more of a desired. Like when it comes to the drinking coffee or beer, you know, if you can get all five senses included in it, it makes the experience even better.
I think that's something that's wonderful about beer, coffee, a lot of things. I mean, for me, weirdly enough, a pool beer for me is Guinness. Whenever I have a Guinness, I want to sit in a pool. And for some people, they want like a little bit more lighter or a little bit more.
Right, you're thinking like light lager almost.
No, man, yeah. We have a buddy, Michael. He's been on your podcast before. We drink Guinness in his beer sometimes.
Yeah.
So every time I have a Guinness, I'm like, man, I wish I was in the pool right now.
But they're crushable.
Oh, yeah.
They're really crushable. Yeah. We talked about this. Again, I think the foreign stout, if you go extra, if you go higher in the Guinness world, I mean, I think they're not as crushable. But the Guinness, even though it has that connotation of being a dark beer, I don't like dark beers. I get a lot of that. When I'm bartending, I get a lot of, I don't like dark beers. Well, just because it looks dark doesn't necessarily mean it's going to wreck your palate.
I think dark beers is one of the best dinner beers.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Especially if you're drinking or eating something like, I don't know, like when I think dinner, I want, like for me, I'm like grilled meats. Mm. Like across the board, I'm like, cool, I don't care what it is, as long as it's a grilled meat. Dark beers are going to just, in general, I feel go better with like a steak or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so diverse. It's great.
And then you get onto dessert and like a brownie or chocolate, anything.
That's why I worked at Sundance as a bartender, we would give out coffee as dessert, like before dessert.
Yeah.
The dessert came out. We gave out coffee, and you get decaf or regular, whatever. And
that's when you get a cappuccino.
Exactly. I'd go decaf. It sounds really weird.
No,
never understood decaf. I was like, why are you taking the venom out of the snake?
Yeah.
But if you got decaf coffee and you paired it with a brownie, like you're saying, or a sundae or whatever, or a mousse. Oh, a chocolate mousse? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Raspberry mousse. Oh. Coffee.
If we're going fancy dinner, I want a decaf cappuccino.
Yeah.
With dessert or as dessert.
And it pairs well and you're not as jittery. Right? Yeah. And that's the best part.
Because then I can go to sleep within the next, like, you know, 8 hours.
Yeah. That might be my problem. I don't ask for decaf. I'm just like, yeah, coffee? Sure, okay. It's 8. That's
fine. The only time I'll ask for coffee is at night if we're doing, like, you know, the 4-course meal and I have that dessert option. And I will go for decaf coffee because it's like, what, 9:10 at night?
Yeah.
I don't want to stay up. I don't want actual coffee. Palate wants coffee. I want coffee, but I don't want the caffeine that is included in that. So that's why I get decaf.
Got stuff to do in the morning.
Yeah, sometimes. Okay, yeah, I do. Let's be real.
You got to wake up. You got to read your book and hang out with the dog.
Yeah. And another coffee.
And do some coffee. Real coffee.
Yeah. So we're going to move to the Founder's Breakfast Stout. Wyatt and I grab this for you, Dini.
Speaking of pairing chocolate and coffee.
So this one is one of the most top-rated coffee stouts, breakfast stouts in the world. This one got 100% on Beer Advocate. This is called a world-class beer. This is 100.
We've never had a 100%.
Yep. So it's ranked number one as English oatmeal stouts.
This is amazing.
This is 8.3% ABV. This one's got double chocolate in it. So I had this one the other night because I've never had it before. It's got a nice oat, bitter, chocolatey taste, but this one is heavy. Heavy, heavy, heavy. But I was also curious about this one. So Holly, the jalapeno, asked me if there was caffeine in coffee beers.
I was curious about this myself.
So I looked it up, and sure enough, there is.
Really?
If there is coffee grounds in a beer, typically – now, this doesn't go for every single beer out there. Typically, you got 5 to 10% of 5 or 10% of a cup of coffee in a beer, wow. A whole beer.
Really?
So a cup of coffee is usually between 70, 110 milligrams of, you know, caffeine. So you take a 5%, 10% of that, and that's how much would be in one beer, typically. There you go.
So we're looking at like 5 to...
We're looking at 5 milligrams. It's basically, a little bit more than decaf, but it's you still get a little bit, right?
I feel like you can get that much out of eating like a bar of chocolate.
Yeah, dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Other types of chocolate?
There shouldn't be. Dark chocolate is the best. Agreed.
Fucking dark chocolate, black coffee, and stouts. Like, let's go, boys.
What is white
But look chocolate? At this. This one you can't see through. This one's dark as fuck.
Look, the way it moves is viscous.
No, like I can smell it from here. Like yeah. It's not even near my face, and I can already smell it from the table.
Yeah, but Founders.
We could be drinking this out of a bowl and still get the nose off.
Yeah.
You have straws? Can I have straws?
Yeah, yeah, you can have straws. But you guys, can you smell the oats on the nose?
Yeah. That's a great nose.
Yeah, so this one's Founders Brewing Company is out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. They come out with some damn good beers.
Yeah, they do.
This one, again, is probably the best known breakfast stout in the U.S.
Yeah. And this is what – it's almost unfair, but this is what we'll be judging the rest of our coffee stouts on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one, it's got that nose on it. Like, it almost smells sweet
like
a little
chocolatey.
Bit.
It smells chocolate? Like a – almost like a – really dark chocolate, like that smell you get from making like a dark chocolate, like brownie or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get you.
Like you know, a little like, you still get that like roasted, like baking chocolate smell. Like you can tell it's being cooked. You know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like I use that baking powder. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Just
no, I
think the hints of malt kind of bring that out too. Yeah.
Can I also mention? You guys can't see unless you're watching our YouTube channel. But when I was handing the beers to Jason, he was so like gentle and like two hands on each glass. I appreciate that. It was very proper.
I'm a very proper person.
That's oh god,
that's false.
Let's taste it, boys.
Maybe I just want to smell it all day. Who knows?
What do you think?
I think for how dark that is, I would just drink this all day. That's very nice.
Yeah.
I think it's I think it's intense. Not that's off-putting or bad, but it's very intense, like a Java-y taste.
Yeah.
Like it's got that coffee in your boom.
I get mostly like dark chocolate. In fact, the texture of it is so thick, it tastes like I just put some dark chocolate in my mouth. And when I eat,
this is
when
double
I eat
chocolate.
Yeah, when I eat chocolate, usually we get like the 70% cacao or whatever, and like we'll like the chocolate like chips. And usually, like, make stuff with them, but, man, sometimes I'll just go in and, like, sneak a couple pieces of them, and I'll put them in my, one little piece at a time, and just kind of, like, let it melt and, like, savor that. And that's what this reminds me of. Even the texture of it reminds me of, like, melting chocolate.
Yeah, in your mouth. Yeah, yeah, it's melting in your mouth.
Yeah.
But Bristol, we know about Bristol. Bristol brought home, she went to Europe last year, she brought a bunch of Belgian chocolate. Mm. This reminds me of Belgian chocolate, to a degree. I mean, it's not as... But Belgian chocolate, in America, you go buy a huge Hershey's bar and you pound the whole thing.
Right.
In Europe, you have a square of that sumbitch because that thing will last. And that's how rich it is. And that's how pure it is. Like it's just better chocolate over the quality of chocolate.
Yeah, we don't have great chocolate
in
America.
They have chocolatiers in Europe. Like that's how professional they are with chocolate. They have gentlemen, brewmasters of chocolate, chocolatiers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
so having Belgian chocolate reminds me of having this. It's like that. It's rich. It's double chocolate. It's very bold. But it's not something you crush. This is not a crushable beer.
I don't get a ton of coffee in this.
I don't get coffee.
I get roasty malt.
There's a little bit of molasses almost on that finish. It's nice.
Yeah. To me, it's reminiscent of a good, like if you use a really good dark roast to make cold brew. Because like cold brew takes even more of that acidity kind of flavor and that bitter bite out of it.
Yeah.
This is like a very dark, very strong cold brew. Like in that way I would relate it to coffee, but really dark and strong cold brew to me doesn't really taste as much like coffee. I get more chocolate and almost like a sweetness. In a way that you get like a super dark chocolate has sweetness. That's where you find the sweetness in
like
cold
a
brew.
Mocha almost? Like a cold brew mocha? I know it's like not really a thing, but. You know what I'm saying? Like mocha?
Like it's not
chocolate.
It's not as mocha either.
Yeah, mochas add more of like a milk chocolate kind of flavor.
Yeah.
So we're talking dark
this
chocolate.
This is like true dark chocolate. It's a phenomenal beer.
But I mean, that's what we're trying. So yeah. Those who are listening, you guys, if you guys understand how we're describing it, this one's good. This one's a breakfast stout.
This is a glass of really dark chocolate. You ever read the book, The Polar Express?
No.
Okay, well, like, as a fourth grader, we had to read The Polar Express. And there's a scene, they do it in, the, like, the animated movie as well, where they give out, like, hot chocolate, and they do, like, the whole dance thing. You know what I'm talking about? I've seen the movie,
but I don't know how you do choreography and dance.
You were a child at one point, okay?
More or less.
But there's a scene where they're like eating hot or drinking hot chocolate, and the kid in the book describes the hot chocolate as being like a cup of like a melted chocolate bar. Like that's what it reminds him of. It's just melted chocolate.
That's true.
This is what it tastes like. It's like melted dark chocolate, and it's delicious.
Now, going along with what you kind of mentioned, this is a breakfast stout?
Yeah, it's called they call it a breakfast stout.
I think that would be oatmeal. Yeah, but just like the imagine this going along with kind of that breakfast food. Not saying that I want to drink this every morning for breakfast. That'd be the life. But I could see this pairing with a little bit more like the breakfast style of things.
So this is called called English Oatmeal Stout. That's the style.
Oh,
so I mean it's nicknamed breakfast stout. You could pair this with steel oats. This would pair very well with steel oats, I think. Take out the cinnamon, just pair out steel oats, a little bit of cream. I think this pairs really well.
Yeah,
well, I kind of like imagine like a ham, like a big slab of ham, like some like hash next to it.
Something with enough fat that this kind of has to cut through it.
Yeah,
because this has like that sweetness, but there's a little bit of bite to it. And I think that if you had something with a little bit of fat, it can kind of cut through that fat.
So maybe
like steel cut oats and like sausage.
Yeah, there you go. You're on the right track.
Sausage would be great. Yeah.
Or I think when you said the cream, if you used like a heavy cream in the steel cut oats, that would give it that fat to kind of cut through.
I'm saying. For me, I'd be oats. I go oats with cream. Oats with cream and this beer. That's what I would do. Because replace my coffee, I'd do this instead.
Yeah.
Kind of like for a brunch. You know, I'm not a huge fan of sausage or pork, so I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do it. But that sounds like it would pair well, actually.
Good brunch beer, yeah.
Yeah. I think so. You're hungover from Saturday night partying. Go to brunch. What do you do to cure your hangover? Mimosas, poinsettias, or breakfast stouts. So we're going to move on to the next one. We have two out of Epic Brewery. So Epic Brewery is out of Salt Lake City and Denver. They have a brewery in Denver. But we have Son of a Baptist. So there's two of them we have. We have the big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout, which I think we should end last. And then we have the Son of a Baptist. Son of the Baptist comes out of Utah and Colorado. It's a double coffee. It's an American Imperial Stout. It got a 93 on Beer Advocate. So this one's it's up there. I mean, we're going from 100 to 93, so it's not terrible of a step back. This one has unique small batches of coffee. It's made with local coffee. That's what I really like about this.
To Salt Lake or local to Denver?
Local to Salt Lake.
Okay, cool. I mean, I would have been pleased with local to Denver.
This point. No, Epic used to be one of my favorite, and still is one of my favorite breweries. They were born and raised in Salt Lake City area, and they actually have a beer called Escape to Colorado because all of their drafts were too high point.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to start shipping it out to another place so they could sell their draft beer. They could sell all their bottled stuffs locally, but anything on draft, they had to ship it out because Utah laws at the time was anything under 4.2. So I loved Epic. Just for that idea of them wanting to produce a good beer and not really – and wanting the masses to drink it, not just worrying about, okay, Utah, we want to have this good product. We want to be able to serve what we brew and our idea behind it. And that's kind of an amazing story how they had to move out to Colorado just to brew what they wanted.
That's beautiful. So I need to do a fact check on that one. So the coffee they get it from, yes, they do – they have some that come from Utah. However, they have – and Denver – they have 10 different roasters across the country that they use. They rotate their coffee with this beer.
Oh, that's cool. Could get, like, depending on what time of year you buy.
It looks
buy
like it goes Colorado, Michigan, Oregon, Texas, Utah, Seattle, Wisconsin, Wyoming, Virginia. I mean, it's kind of cool.
It's quite spread.
Yeah. So, anyway, this one, I think it's just as dark as the breakfast stout.
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't look quite as
viscous.
Quite as heavy.
Yeah.
Quite
it's a little bit more fluid.
But it is dark. Like, it's still that darkness to it. But
a lot more coffee on the nose.
And the cocoa nibs. Because this is made with cocoa nibs. And you get that. You can get the cocoa nibs. You really can. To me, it's curious how coffee and chocolate just go hand to hand.
Yeah.
That just, to me, baffles me. I don't know about baffles me, but it just...
I think it does for people who like dark chocolate. I know a lot of people who like milk chocolate, and they're like, I wish there was a type of chocolate sweeter than milk chocolate. Like,
yeah.
No.
Do you want to smack them across the face?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have those kind of bitters. I mean, it's on the palate and on the nose. I mean, the tongue is separated into four categories, and that bitter is so unutilized.
Yeah.
Where it's great.
I think people are off-put by bitterness.
I mean, I think if it's done well, it's amazing.
At least in this area, there are so many people who everything is sweet. You know, they go to dinner, and at dinner they get, you know, barbecue chicken wings. And
the marble glaze or something.
Yeah, or like marble glaze ham. And they stop at like those soda shops and get like a soda with cream and extra sugar.
Well, yeah, we've all worked in the food and beverage industry, and we all know how people love their sugar.
Yeah, people love sugar. And to the point of like...
It's kind of becoming a problem. Obesity is a thing in the United States.
Huge problem,
you know what I mean? I mean, even in our community, people are wondering why they're fat. And it's like, well, there's a lot of sugar in our diets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you don't even know half the stuff. Like you just said, like buffalo sauce, it's sugar, it's butter. It's in there, and you got to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what makes us fat secretly, you know, is the sugar.
Well, when you stop and get like 32 ounces of
fucking soda,
you know, Dr. Pepper with added like cream and then added a bunch of like sugar syrup
like
as well.
Shots of that sugar.
That's what that's what kills
me.
Like,
can you get some extra sugar syrup in that sugar soda, please?
Popular.
Especially working at a brewery. I see people at the table, like there'll be that one person that gets the beer and then they'll get judged by everyone who's drinking the Diet Cokes.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, I don't say it, but I want to verbalize to my guests, be like, yeah, you just pick your poison. Like, this gentleman would rather have, or lady would rather have a beer, which necessarily is beer necessarily perfect for you? No. Okay. If you can handle it, it's great, right? Alcohol can be dangerous, but it's because people have abused it, right?
Yeah.
And then there's your soda you're having, which is secretly how many cups of sugar? You know what I mean?
Right.
And
even Diet Coke, which doesn't have any sugar, zero calories, like, if you're drinking something that's that color and has flavor and has zero calories, first of all, I'm going to be suspicious.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, what are they putting in there? And studies have shown that things like Diet Coke with artificial sugars spikes the insulin in the same way that sugar does.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you might as well just be drinking fucking Coke. Like, the only reason you're drinking Diet Coke is because maybe you like the taste more.
Or go Mexican Coke, where it's the cane sugar
in those bottles.
Which, instead of the high fructose corn syrup, which is completely is different.
It's still sugar anyway around. Yeah. I mean, if you look at even the brewing world right now, there's a lot of people drinking those seltzers, and those are still like super sugary. They might not taste it, but I mean, imagine a seltzer compared to any of these beers, you're going to get a lot more of a sugar intake, even though it's that just like, oh, this is a hint of, no, it's still sugar. It's still.
You know what's interesting is there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I don't eat sugar, but then they'll drink, and alcohol is fermented sugar, and in something like a spirit, it's fermented sugar that's then distilled to concentrate that fermented sugar in the liquid, right? There are so many people who I know who drink and are like on keto or whatever, and they're like, well, this is keto liquor. It's vodka. And I'm like, alcohol digests in your system the same way that sugar does. So like it spikes your insulin the same way that sugar does. So even if it doesn't have whatever actual sugar in it, there are several things that respond in your body the same way that sugar does. So,
well, the body's not going to sit here and have a pathway inside the stomach and be like, this is soda. This, you know, it's
there's not
the
a,
body sees it as here's a carbohydrate, here's a sugar. Like, they don't see it as here's whatever we fucking named it. You know what I mean?
Your brain doesn't, you know, your brain's up here, your stomach's down there. They don't communicate.
But the stomach
quite
is a second brain.
Well.
So much comes from the gut. You know what I mean? I mean, if you take care of your guts, you can have better insulin, you can have better, what's the words I'm looking for? Better, shit. I don't even know.
Like a better metabolism.
Everything that comes from the
probably
brain.
Better shits.
Yeah.
I can't think of the chemicals that shoot out of your brain. What's it called?
Dopamine.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
So all those shoot out. Like it builds from your gut. I mean, the gut is the second brain. If you take care of your gut, You're going to take care of your body. You're going to have better skin, better hair, better life overall. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty dark. I like the taste of it. That was good.
Seems a little more harsh than the last one. But it plays on that bitterness. There's a lot more, I think, bitterness to it.
I feel like there's more sweetness to it.
Yeah.
So they go sweet, bitter.
There's more to balance.
Right.
Like the other one was, I think it was so perfectly balanced and there was a lot of flavor in it, but like it seemed to mesh together. This one is balanced, but it's like instead of being like next to each other, like the flavors were hugging each other in the Founders. In this one, it's like the flavors are on a teeter-totter.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's almost layered where you can kind of focus on either the bitter or the sweet. It's nice in that way, actually, where it kind of envelops your palate,
yeah,
for lack of a better term.
You know what? I think a little creamer would be pretty good in this beer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a
coffee. Like, maybe try.
Not a bad idea. But I do enjoy this one. I like it because it reminds me of having that black coffee, but then it's the wrong word, but it sweetens with that the cocoa.
Yeah.
I enjoy this one.
Why is this one called Son of a Baptist? The other one is Big Bad Baptist, the next one we try.
You know what? I was trying to look that one up, but Epic's website is down. So I don't know the story behind Son of a Baptist.
That's unfortunate.
I know that Epic, they have a wide selection of beers that mock the LDS Church. I know they have the Elder Brett Saison, you know, like stuff like that. They have, you know what I mean? So they have things that are kind of joking towards the community.
Yeah.
So I think Son of a Baptist is another religious kind of stab in a way. But Epic is a great brewery. I like them a lot. I haven't had a terrible beer from them, but this one, I was interested in this one about 3 years ago, 5 years ago. And when I had this one, I just bought a six pack and kept enjoying it at night. I was just like, oh, wow, this is really good. It's a good beer it's a good night beer for me because you got a little bit of sweetness, but yeah, it's like that decaf coffee taste, right?
Oh, absolutely. Epic does a lot of good beers. I tried one a while ago where it was a high percentage, like I want to say 13 to 17% beer. And it was it was a smoked and oats, I believe it was called. And it was sitting there. I had a little shot glass, and it was like scotch. And it was thick.
Oh, wow.
It was like, this is going to take me all night to finish this. It was a good beer, though. But I am oddly impressed with all the beers, just local and in the community. I mean, you don't really think Utah, you don't really think beers, but there's a craft and an art to it. And I think that we're starting to embrace it more and more.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, being a Utahn, Dini, I mean, have you seen the beer world kind of blow up a little bit in the past few years?
Absolutely. You guys have a bunch of new breweries on here that I would like, oh, yeah, I've heard of Cato's. Oh, yeah, I've heard of these guys. And then you have one that is familiar to me, but I didn't know that we had so many. Like you and I, a few probably back in last fall, we went on a small little brewery tour of the Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it took you a little brewery tour.
Yeah,
kind of.
And it was amazing just to be like, oh, no, I've heard of all these places. And then we go there, and there's like 13 things on draft. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like,
yeah.
You know.
So I remember that on that specific trip you're talking about, we went to Cato's, Fisher. We went to Proper. Proper got a wide selection of beers on tap.
They did.
Yeah.
What was the last one we went to? But anyway, there's a bunch of, you know, you go to downtown Salt Lake and downtown, whoever lives in Salt Lake proper, you're spoiled fuckers because they have a great breweries out there. And Utah County is trying to get there. It's going to take some time. We have Strap Tank, and then we have one that's coming in Mapleton. I'm not sure if they're going to open this whole COVID thing. But, you know, like, I think more breweries need to kind of branch out in Utah County because it needs to have more appreciation. But there's not the appreciation.
I think there's a market here.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of restaurants by themselves, they're carrying more and more local beers, which is amazing.
Yeah. Like, we went to a fancy restaurant, the Jalapeno and I, to celebrate her birthday last month. We went to one in Draper, and Salt Flats is sponsored by them. And they had Salt Flats beer on tap in a fancy restaurant. Like, it was one of those 4.5-star, like, bougie ones, you know, where the waiter, you don't have to touch your napkin because he'll put it on your lap, kind of bougie.
Wow.
Like, Salt Flats was the beer.
Did he have,
like,
a really thin mustache?
Actually, he did.
Oh,
but the only reason why I knew is because he had his mask down past his nose, which is like if you're going to have your mask past your nose, what's the point of wearing the mask? But you say a little mustache, and I chuckled because that's so bougie.
No chin, just a mustache.
Do you know that the mask – sorry, total sidebar, but put that fucking pen away, man.
Did you know that Wolverines love to wear masks?
Don't think they do.
Okay.
Okay. Lost my train of thought for a second. The masks – okay, next time you have your mask that you're supposed to wear, wherever you are, like at work or whatever, light a candle, and if you can blow out the candle, the mask basically does nothing.
Yeah, you're supposed to – I do it with a lighter.
You have to be able to blow out. Yeah. Like, that means like most masks. Like whatever masks I've been wearing, they don't work.
No, it's supposed to be like they have these like M5 or whatever they've been talking about on I don't know, that they talked about there was a shortage of. So like the medical masks, they work, like the blue and the white ones, those are fine, but like other ones are pretty useless.
Yeah, like the generic whatever, like surgical masks you can buy at like Walmart or whatever, those don't, they don't work. Yeah. Like if you, I also have another question. Where are you supposed to sneeze with a mask on?
Your face.
Like, can you pull it down to like sneeze, like do the vampire sneeze? Or are you just supposed to sneeze in the mask and live there with that sneeze?
I hope I never find that out. Like, who's walking around with, like, just a truckload of snot in their nose?
It's allergy season, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite thing right now in restaurants when I look at them. Because anytime someone coughs or sneezes, somebody's going to give you a fucking glare. It's like, what the fuck was that?
How dare you?
Yeah, and 99% of the time I get, it's allergies, I swear. Sure it is, bud. You know, he's like,
it's allergies.
Nowadays it's like whatever.
It's allergies, yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Like if you're gonna sneeze or cough, do it appropriately and wash your fucking hands and don't touch your goddamn face. Like it's just common sense.
It's amazing how many people touch their face and then they like instantly regret it. They're like, oh, and then they look at their hand like they just like murdered somebody and there's blood.
I have
to cut his hand off
now. Yeah.
No, but back to the stout. So this one is ranked 97. So it's also world class. So this is 3 points lower than the Founders.
You guys are spoiling me today.
You're getting high ranked beers.
I appreciate it.
This one's 102 out of all American Imperial Stouts. So this one is actually whiskey, or it depends on the batch, whiskey or bourbon barreled aged Imperial Stout with coffee and cocoa nibs.
That's one thing I always wondered about that is the guys who like go in and they edit all these beers and they try them all. Like, A, that must be a wonderful job. But B, it's interesting to me where you can be in maybe like an office space or just a building and you're trying all these beers, because it goes back to that idea of drinks can be attached to memories. So is it one thing where they go out and try a lighter beer and they have a little bit more of like a scenic area, or if they're just kind of sitting in like a cubicle all crowded together going, this beer is okay. Like what do they think about? How do they pair this? Do they think of activities? Do they think about what this beer reminds them of, or are they just going solely off of taste?
So that's – I'm going off why you can talk after them. When I say my part, I was talking to one of the brewers yesterday, and he's coming out with this new beer. And the only reason why he's coming out with this new beer is because of the time of year. So he's coming out with a beer that tastes like a popsicle almost in a sense, because right now it's June leading into summer. And he's like, I'm going to release this beer because people don't want necessarily a new – forged ale or stout during the summer, right? So he's thinking of time of year, and that's why he's brewing. And he has an office, but he also has a workspace. And I think, and I'm speaking for brewers and brewmasters, I don't know them personally, but I think you're correct with all aspects. I think yes and no. Because when back going to my distillery tour in High West, there were actual labs in High West that they would test the distilled alcohol. Like that's what they would do. Their whiskey, their vodka, whatever it would be, they were testing it. But the individuals who created it, I guarantee they created it because they wanted to taste ABC. Right? They wanted this out of their drink. They wanted this out of whatever beverage they're making. So I think in both aspects, both are correct. Depends on you know, you sit here and be like, I want to make this, and so you write it on a piece of paper and you're making it. Or you'd be like, dude, I love, one of my favorite memories is camping up a blah 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 blah. Or like, I can Kilimanjaro. I want to find something that reminds me of Kilimanjaro. And all the smells that you did when you hiked Kilimanjaro, you want those in a beer, right?
No, absolutely agree with that. I mean, going back to what you mentioned, and you said forged ale, it was Strap Tank who came out with a forged ale a few years ago. And I think you and I both tried that. Yeah. I could be incorrect. Mm-hmm. And for us, it reminded us of summer. It reminded us of Pine Forest. Yep. It was a forged ale. Had
was this the first edition or the second edition? The first
edition. I believe it was second edition. I think it was second edition because it had because it had an alcohol taste.
It tastes a little bit more juniper, I think.
Yeah. But it reminded us of what we call Pine Forest. That smell when we taste the beer, we both of us it clicked. Like holy fuck!
Yeah,
like
this is a spring summer beer.
Is that that Pine Forest by Maple Dale? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes,
that's just north of it.
When I think our first IPA episode, now is talking about riding horses with my grandpa. That's the same forest. It was right by Maple Dale because he lived in Spring Lake, and we would always ride up Payson Canyon. So that's the same place. I wish I would have.
Off what Dini said, do you think they're sitting there in labs or a workspace trying to create a beer, or it's like, hey, I had this experience, I want to try to recreate this smell?
I think it very much depends on the beer. I mean,
I think it's both. Yeah.
Yeah. Like sometimes there can be a beer that they're like, cool.
I'm going to create this beer.
We can taste this right here in the brewery and find out what it's going to be. And I think sometimes, especially with maybe a more experimental beer, if they have something very specific in mind, maybe they're going to take that beer. They're going to take a little bit of it. And let's say they're thinking I want a beer to pair with like a beer that I think is the beer that I like the beer I want to take on a hike with me. You know what I mean? Like the beer I want to drink when I finish a hike. And so maybe they'll take, this is just the romantic way I picture it is brewer takes a little bit of that beer, puts it in a crowler, maybe goes on a hike, finishes his hike and then drinks the beer and is like, okay, yeah, this is it. Or maybe, okay, maybe this needs some tweaking. So in the next batch, maybe I'll adjust this. That's what I imagine. That's what I want to imagine. I think it depends on the beer. If they have something very specific, they're going to, in my mind, they're going to take it to that specific scenario.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, and I don't know, I know actually a few brewmasters myself, and in my mind, it kind of goes back to the whole idea of storytelling. Beers tell stories. Most things in life can tell a story.
Yeah.
But I can see a brewmaster or even somebody who has an experience or writes their own thing. They go out, they have an experience, and they hopefully have a beer with them. And they go experience this thing, try this beer, and they're like, wow, this is an experience for me. I am living this, and I'm getting this memories, and I'm tasting this, and it's this whole thing for me, and I can wrap it up. And then they go back and they take that to their own brewery and they make their own version of this.
Yeah.
I work in an industry where I have a lot of storytelling. Mm-hmm. I play D&D. I'm a dungeon master. You play D&D. We've done this thing before.
He pointed at Wyatt, not me. Wyatt plays D&D.
Hey, I ran a campaign and you were in it, buddy boy. So
the first time I met David, he was talking about D&D and playing D&D with you.
Really?
Yeah, he actually told me next time you see David, ask him something. And then, or next time he asks you for something, just tell him roll for me.
Oh,
and that was
gosh.
My first, I didn't even know what D&D was at that point.
Yeah.
And David was the one who was telling me about it.
That's fair.
And I was like, David seems like a cool guy. I guess cool guys play D&D. Maybe I'll play D&D.
That's probably absolutely
off fabricated.
That was how I got into D&D.
Okay, roll for me. Deception.
God, I hate
that.
Your deception roll failed.
Yeah, absolutely negative one.
That was a nat one, buddy.
So going back to that idea behind that, it's the same thing with storytelling is you hear all these amazing stories or you watch something or you see a movie and the movie moves you.
Yeah.
And you go back and you take that idea and you kind of mold it into make it your own and now it's part of your own story. Because, I mean, there's everybody out here goes and sees one of those indie movies that really touches them and then they take something away from it and then they can change whatever they want with their life or if it's something different. It's the same thing with beer in my mind. If I'm going to try something and I'm a brewmaster and I have a beer and I have an experience with that beer, I'm going to take that back and I'm going to mold it into my own version. Because I mean, it's 2020. At this point, a lot of things are already done and said, but it's your version and your own creation that I think
own craft.
Yeah. It's the craft behind it where I think that's more of what I want to take away from a beer, where a lot of these beers you can say, oh, they're all imperials or they're all porters or stouts, but what makes it different from the rest and what am I trying and tasting?
Yeah.
On that point, and that was beautiful, Dini. Thank you for sharing that. That was really good.
It's all, yeah.
No, that's awesome. I agree with what you're saying. Yesterday, we were talking about I was talking to one of my brewer friends, and he was saying he can tell when the head brewer has his hand in it and when the head brewer does not have his hand in creating that beer. Because, for example, we're talking about TF Brewing, and they had a certain – TF used to be traditional, just German style, boom. But now Kevin Templin doesn't have his hand in every single one. You know, if I was a brewmaster, I wouldn't want to do every fucking beer.
That'd be a headache.
You got to have – that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
But that's why you hire brewers to help you with it and assistance. And you can tell, according to the brewer I was talking with, you can tell when the brewmaster's kind of stepped away a little bit because he's trying to give the assistant brewer a little more.
That's what you're learning.
You know, like, hey, you know, here's the recipe, but you can also kind of tweak a little bit, right? Yeah. And sometimes brewers can fuck up. And sometimes they, you know what I mean? And when they have their specific craft, but there's one that they're really well known for. Like, for example, they have a Helles style beer at TF that is Kevin's beer. And I don't think Kevin has not made it ever because that's his beer. It's traditional. They have slow pour taps on purpose because of the German style. Like, if I had a beer that I was very, very proud of, I wouldn't let anyone fuck with it.
Yeah.
I would make sure that I watched every step of the process. I would make sure that my mash is where it needs to be. The world, you know what I'm saying? I would watch the whole process of that fucking thing because this is my art that I want replicated over and over. But if you try, like you were saying, if I grabbed a stout that I liked from another brewery, but I want to recreate it, I don't want to mirror it. I want to do it with my own take on it. And that's
you're probably going to think, okay, well, maybe I would change it slightly.
Exactly. But then some other person will take that one and be like, no, that don't do that. I'll do this instead. And that's what the beauty of craft beer is. There's tweaks here and there and depends on who likes it, what likes it.
Yeah.
And there's – in my mind, I think there's a style for you. But just because you like a certain style doesn't mean all that whole same style. Because we just tasted two English-style stouts, right? And they're not all – what is it called? American Imperial Stouts. We tasted American and English. Like it's stouts category, but then the style is, you know, fine tuned, but then there's different beers in that style.
And even within those sub styles, if two breweries do the same thing, you're going to get a completely different beer. It's like how many poets have written like poems about like love or whatever.
Exactly. Right? It's their take on it.
Every single if you were just like, okay, love poem. I wrote one. That's the only one we need. Like, everyone has a little bit different take on it. Exactly. And so that's why you have different poets and different artists and why Shakespeare can be famous and also other poets.
Rappers can be famous.
It's kind of going along with that whole idea where, I don't know who said this, but it was somebody made this beautiful painting and people like, oh, this painting's so great. Oh, it's so amazing. And then there was that one guy who was like, I think it's an awful painting. And the artist was like, great. He's like, great. What do you mean it's great? I don't like your painting. He's like, yes, but you're experiencing my painting. My painting is there for you to feel emotion.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's positive. Sometimes it's negative, but it's making you feel.
Yeah.
And I think it goes into beer. There's a lot of beer that people don't like. There's a lot of beer that people do like. I'm kind of one of those people who I can drink IPAs. It's a sit-down beer for me. I can't crush it.
Yeah.
Any IPA that I've ever had, I'm like, okay, this is a good IPA, but I can't chug this thing, or I can't even try to have two or three of these back to back. But if you give me an IPA, I can kind of work on it and focus on it.
Yeah.
Compared to other people, like IPAs all day. It's just everybody's their own take on the craft, which is what you need.
And that right there is why I think you need to open your palate.
Yeah.
I don't think I can like a beer and Wyatt can't, or won't like that same beer, vice versa. Hmm. And that's why, to me, I will always try something twice. I say that with a grain of salt, but I'll try something twice because I don't know if I would like it the first time or if I just didn't get a good experience or a good pairing or a good memory with it that first time. You know what I mean? So when I get a lot of people that come to my bar and just sit there and be like, I only drink IPAs or I only drink lagers. And we have a Schwarz beer. Like, here's a lager, but it looks like a stout. Like, it's darker. Like, it looks like a heavy amber, right? And they'll be like, what the fuck? I asked for a lager. Here's your lager. Try it. Just try it. This one's on me. Like, just fucking try it. Oh, it's not bad. Exactly. You got to open your – when knowledge increases, behavior changes. And just because when the knowledge increases, that knowledge can take you like, now I know I don't like it or now I do know I like it. But your knowledge increased, period. Yeah. And your behavior towards whatever that is will change. That's why I love that quote. That's why I always say it.
Yeah. I mean, to keep yourself educated. I mean, I started – when I first started drinking beers, it was Hefeweizen and dark beers. That was it. Now, I love a good Pilsner.
Right.
Like, I love a good Helles. I love beers. I like each individual one because I've found something that I can kind of click into. And then from there, I can kind of expand slowly and slowly. And then I can find little different aspects of it. But anyone who is kind of fixed in their way and doesn't want to open their palate or doesn't want to educate
themselves.
I'm
sad for them. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to diss them. I'm just sad.
Yeah.
It They rather go to their, you know, Diet Coke drinking, and that's fine. But
it's there's more taste to the it. Same
like,
every day.
Like, open it up. Like, look at what else there is.
Yeah.
Like, there's more options. It's like reading one love poem and then just being like, okay, cool. That's all I want.
That's why I love reading like, books. Is there's God, so many there's, different, yeah. like, I'm reading one right now. It's fantasy, fiction. Like, there's so much in that world. I'm the book I'm reading right now is I'm getting lost in someone else's mind and their creative mind and what they think of their art and their mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's a good take on it. I would have never thought of in billions of years.
Right.
But I'm now reading it and I'm enjoying it. And so those who – and that's why I go back to beer. Those brewers and brewmasters who have a craft and they are showing – they showcase it. You know, kudos to – my hat's off to you guys. Yeah. Like, you got balls. Or yeah, even if the girls, they have balls. Like, I think – and that's why – I think why and I did this podcast because I'm like, hey, listen. And I get a lot of people like, hey, you guys are doing that podcast. It's awesome. It's cool. The very beginning was kind of rough, but it's getting better. And I'm like, yeah, because we have two fucking bartenders trying to start a podcast, mm-hmm. have no experience on computers – barely know anything about beer. We're just learning. Like, we're going to get better as we go on. Absolutely. And so for those who are tuning in, like, if you guys want to come back to our Instagram and Facebook, you know, we get a lot of negative and positive comments. And those negative comments, we look into and be like, oh, yeah, we can right. fix that. Or
those are just as or more important than exactly. the positive comments.
I don't want to sit here. Wyatt and I don't want to be, you know, our handheld be like, every time, you guys have a great episode. I've listened to every single episode. Wouldn't I like that ideally? Sure. But I don't expect everyone to listen to every single one of my episodes. My own wife hasn't listened to every single one of my episodes. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's kind of true what you said. In a previous episode, you mentioned, or maybe it was a brewmaster you had on, who mentioned, tell me what's bad about my beer. Don't tell me
yeah,
what's good.
Yeah, Scott.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, tell me. Yeah, I like to hear the bad. Because I told him, I asked him the question, do you like to get negative feedback? And he goes, at the very beginning, it was hard. Because I just wanted yep. to get perfection. And that's what Wyatt and I think. At the very beginning, Wyatt and I wanted our podcast to be perfect. And we were launching this because whatever. But it's just two bumbling idiots. And we've yeah. gotten better as it gone. We have 25 episodes, over 25 episodes out now.
Wow.
Wyatt and I didn't think we'd make it past like 10. Like, you know what I mean? But we're going to keep doing this because we love it. We have a passion for it. And we want to go appreciate more crafts. We're learning a shit ton, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling – who was telling my buddy the other day, go, even if this thing just falls flat on its face, at least I came out learning a shit ton. And I hope those who listened learned a shit ton too. You know, there's so much out there and I just want to get a grasp on just a little bit of the craft out there. And that's what you said, the take on different things. This is this person's version of this style of beer. And I like that. And we've gone to a couple of breweries or
we've gone to distilleries, breweries,
tap rooms, and we're like, I don't like this beer. I'll still drink it. If it's right. put in front of me, I'll still drink it. And why? You've done the same thing. I don't like it. Yeah. I'll still drink it or I won't finish it.
First time I tasted a sour, I went, this is not what I'm even slightly used to drinking with a beer.
But
it wasn't bad.
Again, for the sour advocates who like sours, maybe to them that was a really good sour. Yeah. And maybe to that brewmaster – to him, he was very proud of that. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But you don't know until you – like, that's why I love talking to people, especially brewers and brewmasters. Like, tell me about your beer. Yeah. Tell me why I should – why did you make this?
Well, it's just talking to the artists, like trying to understand what's in their head when they're creating, you know, these masterpieces. It's awesome.
And that's what I love bringing – when Marcio came on and he just – the passion. Marcio was just talking with the passion. And I just want to look at him and be like, I just want to talk to you the rest of the day because of your passion. You know what I mean? Like, you have all these – you know what you're doing and you know how you're doing it. Keep talking to me. I love that. And if we can get someone to talk about their passion – that's why I love talking to artists because I don't think I'm creative at all. Like, we sit there and I'll draw or doodle and then Holly will come out with, like, some Van Gogh art. And I'm like, Jesus, I can't do that. I do the classic – every artist here hates to hear this. I do the classic stick figure drawings. I can't even do that. Right? That's me.
Right.
Well, I think that goes into brewmasters and themselves where, I mean – brewmasters are human. They probably don't love every single beer. They probably have their own favorites. They're like, oh, I like this beer compared to this beer, but they still produce every beer. So they might come out with, if a brewmaster doesn't like, you know, a Helles, let's just say, and they produce a Helles and they stick it out there, they might not appreciate it as much, but the people who are like, oh my gosh, I love this brewery and they're coming out with one of my favorite beers, they might appreciate it more than the brewmaster because the brewmaster understands that people have that on their palate, but he might not love that style compared to other people as much.
So when and just for those who are listening, we've mentioned Hellestyle. Dini's mentioned Hellestyle a couple. Hellestyle lager is typically a German style lager with it's kind of a smokiness to it, and it's dry finish typically. Really good if you can get one. Yeah. I only know of two in Utah. TF has one, and Strap Tank has one. That's all I know about.
Anyway. I feel like I had.
Well, let's finish this real quick. We're on the last one. We have the Big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout, which has gotten great reviews. This one's a 97, like we said. World class, 11.8 ABV. This one is dark, but not as viscous as I think it's in between the Founders and the Son of the Baptist we had.
Yeah. Very similar, like very chocolatey. Off but the like nose, dark yeah. chocolatey. Mm-hmm. Like you can almost smell that bitterness.
Holy shit, sweeter than I thought. It's got like a jam taste to it.
Yeah, very sweet.
You got like a jam taste to it?
Yeah.
Like a sweetness to it?
Hmm.
I'm trying to... Dini, what's your thoughts on this one?
That's good. You ever have like grow up and have like that... I think it's called apple butter or something?
Yeah. That's kind of... That's. I think that's that jam taste. That's.
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about. It's really good.
And there's something that... Is that bourbon? I don't want to say... Yeah, I was.
That's bourbon.
Like
it kind of tastes like it's been in a barrel.
That's bourbon barrels, then.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not smoky, but it has a similar like bourbon fire,
like that burn,
like a lingering finish of like a burn. Yeah,
I like that finish. That bourbon finish is kind of nice, but it's not. It's not a, like you're saying that true like burn. It's just like it's mellow. It's subtle.
I think I like the Son of a Baptist a little more.
This has a sharp sweetness at the end that keeps catching me.
It's like bourbon.
I think I like this one better than the Son of Baptist because the sweetness intrigues me. I like both beers. I like all four we've had today.
Yeah.
The Son of the Baptist, I like the coffee taste to it. I think I'd rather have that one as a finishing beer, if you will. This one I'd rather have as like a drink for fun and crush. I think I can crush this one better because of that sweetness. That's me though. Even though it's an Imperial, I think it's for me, it's a crushable Imperial.
Okay.
This makes me want to play poker. Like, just sit at a table with a bunch of friends, sip on this, and just, like, play board games or something.
You'd have to have a cigar, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Cigar cake. Can we go real quick? Cigars and coffee stouts. Perfect pairing, I think.
Yeah. Which is weird.
This coffee stout specifically, because it has that, like, whiskey kind of flavor.
That's smoky.
So if you do so, I think you wouldn't do a robust Cuban, but if you did almost like a sweet cigar, it'd pair really well.
No, I had a – yesterday, I've been doing yard work
like
all day.
Sweet
it was an Irish white chocolate, which is the only time I condemn normal white chocolates, but that was a good one.
Yeah, I remember they came in little minis.
Yeah,
they're nice. But I think this would pair well with a white chocolate stogie, as weird as that sounds. But what's your take on it? You guys like it?
I do like it.
You like it less than you like the –
Less than the Son of the Baptist.
Still
it's still
good,
a
though?
Good beer. It's still a good beer.
I think I agree with what. I think Son of the Baptist is pretty good.
Yeah. Just, I think that the sweetness, and then the sweetness kind of like transitions into like a burn, and that's a little off-putting for me. I don't love that as much. But if you're into that,
yeah,
clearly David is.
Yeah, I liked it. Because of the sweetness, though.
This is your jam, yeah.
Literally, jam. I taste jam.
Yeah.
But Dini, what's your favorite one we've had today? Out of the four we've had? If you can put a favorite one.
Son of Baptist was definitely flavor just because I love the transition where if I wanted to focus on the sweet, I could taste a little bit more of the sweet. If I wanted to focus on the bitter, I could taste more of the bitter. That one was interesting to me probably the most just because it was very diverse. The cream ale was out of this, I would just sit there and probably have like three of those.
Yeah.
Those are really good.
Yeah, Keto's.
Yeah.
Crushable.
Yeah, super crushable.
Absolutely. But if I wanted a lot of these beers to me, like I love dark beer just in general. If I'm going to sit and hang out for a while, I'm going to probably have a dark beer on my hand. But I don't know, probably Son of the Baptist. Yeah. That one's just good.
Right. I agree. I think the first three that we tried were all phenomenal. And this one is good. It just isn't
your
my
jam.
Palate as much.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Founders was incredible. Son of the Baptist was incredible. Almost the same style, but still very different, you know? And I feel like the Big Bad Baptist, to me, is more reminiscent to...
Founders?
The Founders than it is the Son of a Baptist. I just think Founders is a little better. It just fits me a little
I think
more.
You said it earlier, the best. It's the it's hand, like it's hugged. The balance is there. Yeah. Like it's, if you go hand to hand, like the balance in the Founders is perfect.
Yeah.
And I think with the Baptist, it's not as quite as perfect because it has just a little more sweet edge than it did as a pairing perfection.
And that's, I think that's what's off-putting to me. So I'm,
yeah.
I don't know.
And I can see that.
Sweetness is just not my jam.
And I respect that. Yeah.
I get that. There's two things I don't like about my beer. I don't want it to taste like loose pocket change, like that penny copper taste.
Coin.
And I don't want my beer to like come in waves. Like I like a good beginning, middle, and finish, but I don't want it to like jump up and down type situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like both the Son of the Baptist and the Bad Baptist, I feel like those kind of have like a
roller like coaster.
It was
almost
more like dramatic, yeah, like
teeter totter. You said it.
Yeah, teeter totter. Like just that. It was really dramatic. The difference in flavors, whereas the Founders was very like.
I think Founders and Keto's. I think Keto's.
The Keto's,
like,
yeah,
same thing. They just had that.
Yeah.
Go line boom.
The Keto's is.
That's another category.
Yes, it's completely different. It's just a whole different world.
Yeah, it is.
It's so much lighter. It's just like I'm like I have to hold that to a different standard. I mean, these other three beers are that darker, kind of more molasses slash. Dark chocolate, the Keto's, and was like, yeah, bring that on. But
these other three beers would be the perfect after dinner beer, though.
Yep,
like
spot on.
You said it right. Like they're ideal.
They're
like
nightcaps.
Replace your coffee
beers
with those. Yeah. You won't be disappointed.
Not at all. So, guys, they're all locally available, readily available. Founders is nationwide. You can get it in any liquor store. Son of the Baptist, Epic has got them in a lot of liquor stores as well. Keto's, they are. You can get them pretty far out, actually. The grocery stores as well. It's only 4.3 or 4.8, so it's readily available. So these four beers are available. Whether you're in Utah or not, they are out there. Go ahead and grab them. Let us know what you think. Again, hit us up Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're here. Wyatt and I will answer. DM us if you want to come on. Deanie, I'm glad that you wanted to come on and talk beers and coffee beers specifically. Thanks so much for your input. Appreciate the stories you've given us. What's the next beer you want to try on our podcast?
Next beer I want to try? Oh, gosh. I want a nice kind of – it's going to be summer soon, so I wouldn't mind getting a probably like a Mexican lager. You always talk about them, and I'm just like, now I want one.
All right. So we should do a cerveza episode, another one.
Maybe like cerveza and tequila.
Oh, joy. We got to do that at night, though.
Yeah, not at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm glad these are coffee beers because I'm
it's
like,
it's kind of
yes.
nice. Huh? It's kind of a good time to have these beers in the morning. But Deanie, thanks again for joining us. Wyatt, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah.
Great beers. Hit us up if you guys need anything. Yeah. But until the next beverage, bros and gals.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. This has been David and Wyatt on Taste Masters.